Good morning. Yes, you are part of this thing called life. Welcome to Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta, and beyond, as I say, because we are happy to have you join us from wherever you are right now. I'm Reverend Cynthia McCarthy, and I am so grateful to be your guest speaker today. Dr. Bob is enjoying a day off on his long holiday weekend. So speaking of holidays, happy Thanksgiving. The whole long weekend is about giving thanks and Thanksgiving. So we thank you for choosing to spend your Sunday morning with us here. We know you have a choice for what you do on Sunday mornings, and we're glad that you choose to pop on with us. I think you're here for a reason, because there's something that you need to hear. I also want to say, if you were not able to or chose not to spend this holiday weekend with your family in Thanksgiving, know that you are a part of our family. And I mean that sincerely. You are all welcome here, even if it is your first time tuning in, especially if it is your first time. We are a center that believes that we are, each one of us, an important, unique part of life. We think you are an expression of life. And such is the nature of life that all it asks is the opportunity to show up. You are that opportunity. Right here, right now, I am that opportunity, and so it is. Now, our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote a Declaration of Principles that reminds us of who we are and what we believe. Let's take a look at that if you want to read along with me. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Now, Centers for Spiritual Living has licensed prayer practitioners who go through years of training and have so much experience with affirmative prayer and spiritual mind treatment. And we have a very special practitioner with us today who is sort of new to our center, but certainly not new to this teaching. She brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiration with her every time she's here. So I am happy to introduce Norma Roberts.
Well, good morning to all of you. And I sincerely thank all of you for having me today. But I'd like to start by telling you of an experience I had recently. It was really important to me and carried over with me so long that I just really need to share it. Last Saturday night, a friend and I were talking, and we were thinking about some things that people were doing and their actions and asking why. But Sunday morning, the universe seemed to say, you ask, so here's your answer. I just happened to turn on the TV, and it appeared that the speaker had something important to say, so I watched. Now, I plan to eliminate much of the talk that he gave so that I can get my not go beyond my time limit and yet get the message over to you. I heard the speaker say, have you ever tried to talk a friend out of making a really bad decision, but they just couldn't see what you were talking about? They just couldn't see it. That really caught my attention, because that was exactly what my friend and I were talking about. The speaker said, there are some very smart people who make really dumb decisions. Wow. He said, because he observed what happened when he tried to help certain people make good decisions, he and his wife came up with a prayer based on Proverbs 27:12. Here, Solomon was very wise, but his life just didn't show his wisdom. He couldn't do what he was even advocating. The text says, the prudent, a wise person, see danger and take refuge. That is, they take appropriate action. They turn away and do something differently. However, the simple or the naive see that same danger, that same trouble, and they just keep going on. And eventually they pay the penalty. Based on this text is a term called, I know some of you may have heard it, I didn't, but the term is confirmation bias. Now, I thought this answered some of my questions, because this is a tendency in all of us to look for information that confirms what we already believe. We see what we want to see and we hear what we want to hear. At the same time, there's something in all of us that filters out any information or fact that don't line up with what it is we want to see or what it is that we want to do. It have to confirm what we already believe. This answered my question why, as I said before. Why are people still traveling when the experts say they shouldn't? Why are people still having social gatherings when we see so many people dying? Why are we here at this center, a religion of this nature, rather than someplace else? The naive would say, it doesn't affect me, I'm immune. I'll get beyond all of this. I don't need to do anything else. And the problem is they truly cannot see what we are saying. They can't see it at all. They can't make any kind of adjustment. But the really prudent person see what they need to see and then make the changes they need to make. Therefore, we know why we are here, because regardless of what Reverend Cynthia says, it's going to line up with some of our beliefs. And that is the reason that we are here and not someplace else. We're here because we know that we are channels of the activity of God. We're here because we are truly compassionate conduits. We are here because we are right now knowing that we are our brother's keeper. So the prayer that Andy Stanley came up with is, Heavenly Father, help me to see trouble long before it gets here. Then give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Now, I took the prayer because he encouraged you to make a prayer of that of your own. And I changed it to say, Heavenly Father, I ask that the blindness be removed from my eyes so that I see trouble long before it gets here. Then give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it to bring peace to all mankind. That was my prayer using what he said. So thank you for listening, and I hope that this confirmation bias stirred something up within you. And now let's prepare for our treatment. So just settle down and just join me and make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes if you like, but begin to be aware of your breath and just breathe slowly and deeply. As I speak in the first person, I speak as everyone within the sound of my voice. Knowing there is but one life, that life is God, that life is truly my life right here and right now. As this one life, I live, move, and experience my perfect being. I know that I was created in the image and likeness of God. And my every step is ordered by the law of my being. God guides me, guards me, sustains and maintains me as a channel of his peace. I am love in action. I am the successful manifestation of harmony. I acknowledge I am my brother's keeper as I spread God's love wherever I am. I trust the law of good to protect me always and in all ways, because I dwell in the consciousness that fills my every need. I know the law goes before me and prepares my way for unlimited good. God, mind cannot reverse itself. It cannot be denied. My demonstration is made in consciousness. Mind has seen ahead and has made provision for me as the complete answer to any problem. I do not give in to disappointments, discouragements, or delays. And I remain untouched by the opinions and negative beliefs of others. The law of my life operates in a positive and constructive way. Any expression that doesn't measure up to my intention has no power to exist. Therefore, I welcome unmeasured good through expected and unexpected channels, and I manifest the experience of perfect health and abundant wealth as money flowing into my hands through infinite channels. I experience exceptional creative self-expression and wonderful personal relationships. With great thanksgiving, I release this word to the unwavering universal law that responds by corresponding as I allow its perfect manifestation in my world. I declare it is so now, as together we say, and so it is. I understand we have a video coming up, but I'm going to let someone else tell you about that video. So thanks again.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest, you're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love. You're my hands, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug, you're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun. You're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter, you're my friend till the end, you're my dreams, you're my father. You're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround, I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds. You're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow, you're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow. You're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Stop to take a bow and keep moving forward and start looking towards your heart. It'll open all the doors and only then you'll start to hear the world singing chorus with your mind and heart. Aligned in purpose, everything
all
will feel gorgeous.
I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all.
a sitting prick, cause what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I give back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan, but there's a million things that I can be grateful for. The small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that everything is a gift.
Yes, we are grateful for it all, for sure. And I'm grateful Dr. Bob let me switch my guest speaking Sunday around for some scheduling reasons. And when I did that, I did not even really look and pay attention to what the top topic was for today. I knew it would be something great. So when I saw that the title was The Grateful and Cheerful Receiver, I got so excited because it is everything. I love to talk about this stuff. It's a little bit of gratitude. It's a little bit of law of circulation. It's a little bit of how we go about receiving our good. I could talk about this all day long. I won't, but I could. So let's start with being grateful for it all, as that lovely song just showed us from Daniel Nabon. Gratitude is a spiritual principle we talk about a lot around here, and especially this time of year, wrapping up our Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And for many of us, it might have been a little weird and looked a little different this year, right? But we're all still okay. We're all still very blessed. And gratitude really starts with recognizing how blessed we are. I'm sure we all thought about that a lot on Thursday, and hopefully we're still thinking about that. But let's take a second right now and do a little exercise to shift our awareness into gratitude. So put your hand on your heart and see if you can really feel your heartbeat. It's always hard for me to feel it. I can feel it better on my pulse. If that works, put it on your pulse or your neck. See if you can feel your heartbeat. And just take a minute, take a breath, and focus on that heartbeat, on that pulsation. What you are feeling right now is life force energy, infinite intelligence, spirit expressing itself in your physical body. That is your essence. So just breathe that in for a second. In this moment, right here, right now, I am so grateful for my life. I am grateful for your life. I am grateful for life. Can't you just feel that shift and feel a bit more like in the flow of things? There's a great section in The Science of Mind where Ernest Holmes talks about how if we want to ask spirit for healing or for any desires that we might wish, we should come with thanksgiving. And this is my favorite line. He says, "For a thankful heart is in harmony with life." A thankful heart is in harmony with life. That really struck me because it seems like we are seeing so much disharmony right now, so much separation. And that's not the truth of who we are. Gratitude helps us feel and live our harmony and our oneness. And that's that shift we experience. Now, that particular passage in Science of Mind goes on to say that we should also come to spirit with spontaneous joy, like cheerfulness, right? And an open, receptive mind. Receptive, receiving. He's talking about being a grateful, cheerful receiver. And this subject fascinates me because we hear so much about giving and how important it is, being compassionate and charitable. And really, it's biblical scripture, right? God loves a cheerful giver. We've all heard that. That is the actual scripture, but God also loves a cheerful receiver because that's how the law of circulation works. We know this. That's the other part. It's about giving and receiving. So what does it even mean to be a receiver? This is very brave of me. I should probably know better, but I'm going to give you a sports analogy. So my father spent many years trying to explain football to me. God bless him. I was a little bit hopeless, I think. And pretty much the only thing I remember is you have 4 chances to take the ball 10 yards. I wish I had a nickel for every time he told me that. I also remember always having questions about who are these people on the field and what are their jobs? You know, what are they doing? And I would always get so confused. And he finally said, look, there's really only 2 people you have to pay attention to. There's the quarterback. His job is to throw the ball down the field. And there's the receiver. Now, his job is to catch the ball without dropping it, without falling down or getting knocked down, which is called getting tackled, by the way. So what does it look like to be a receiver? So I'm going to go out on a limb and say we've all seen a football game at some point in our life. So picture it in your mind. The receiver is always running very fast down the field. And where are his eyes? His eyes are always on the quarterback with the ball, on the ball. And where are their hands? The receiver's hands are really not at their side when they're running. They're out, right? And they're open. If you ever seen them run, they run like this trying to catch the ball. The receiver is always getting ready to catch the ball. This is what it means for us to be a receiver. Always being ready to receive. Now, open hands are really the key to the law of circulation in both directions. If you hold your hands out in front of you like this, facing up, open, we should always have hands that are willing to give, right? You can't give someone anything with closed hands. That doesn't work. So hands that are willing to give and hands that are ready to receive, right? You can't receive your good if your hands are closed. Our hands have to be empty too. If we're clutching things and holding too tightly to what we have while we're trying to receive our good, it doesn't work, right? We're not in the flow then. So sometimes this means we have to make room for our good to come, both mentally and physically. There is an emergency room physician, and he's an author named Todd Michael. And he wrote a book called The 12 Conditions of a Miracle. And it's based on the miracle from the Bible with the loaves and the fishes, when Jesus turned 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food to feed 5,000 people, right? And what I think is neat about the book is he doesn't necessarily write from a Christian perspective. He writes from a New Thought spiritual practice perspective, teaching the steps and the conditions of manifestation and how to apply them to our own lives. Well, step number 1 that he describes is this idea of emptiness, like open, empty hands. Nature abhors a vacuum, he writes. And whenever a state of emptiness or lack is created, nature immediately mobilizes to fill it. Getting ready to receive means creating a vacuum, internally and externally. So internally would mean emptying out our minds, being still, quieting our thoughts, maybe meditating or praying, and aligning with the divine. Now, doing this externally might mean making space for our good that is already on the way. Part of this practice is physically looking around in our lives to see if we need to make some room. Now, do you guys ever go to the church of Steve Harvey? I love me some Steve Harvey. He is so motivational, and he really demonstrates these spiritual principles just with funny stories from his life. And he has a great story about this, about a friend of his, a very good friend of his, who was a woman, and she was really wanting her soulmate. But she was dating a married man. And this woman and this man would meet at the same restaurant every single week, and the maitre d' would seat them at the same table every week, and he knew them. And this went on for 2 years. And Steve Harvey said to her, "How do you think God or spirit is going to send you the right man while you're dating this married guy?" And he had to explain to his friend the way he learned how the universe works. See, when Steve Harvey was young and he was still living at home, he was working so hard to save up for a new car. His old one was broken. It didn't work, wouldn't run. So he came home from work every day and he would smile and say to his mom, "Mom, I'm going to get a new car." And she'd say, "Yeah, your old one's still sitting out in the yard." He had it up on like cinder blocks because he was always trying to work on it and fix it. But he'd be so positive, and the next day, you know, he'd come in the door with his paycheck and say, "Mom, I'm going to get a new car." But she kept telling him about his old car still sitting out there on the blocks, you know, with dead leaves and leaky oil and all the junk out there all over the place. And finally, he said, "Mom, every time I come home, I'm so excited and I get paid. I tried to be so positive about getting a new car, and you just keep telling me about my old car sitting out there." And she said, "Son, you don't have anywhere to put your new car. You don't have room for it." So he realizes she's right. So he does all this work. He gets his car towed away. He cleans up all the trash, gets rid of the cinder blocks, cleans off the driveway, and has a nice place for his new car. 2 weeks later, he's got a new car in his driveway. And he brings his mom out and he shows her, and she says, "Yeah, it's because you had somewhere to put it, right?" Now, his point in telling all this to his friend, the one who's dating the married guy, was you can't ask God for something and then not get ready to receive it. The getting ready is part of the process, right? So he tells all this to his friend, and she realizes he's right. She's not getting ready to receive her soulmate. So she stops dating the married guy. She stops going to the restaurant. And one day, months later, the maitre d' from the restaurant bumps into her out in town somewhere. And he says, "Hey, where have you been?" And she said, "Oh, I stopped seeing my friend." And he said, "Well, good. I've been waiting." He thought she was the most beautiful woman ever. And of course, you know how the story goes. They start dating, got married, have a bunch of kids, happily ever after, right? The whole thing. So sometimes the universe is waiting for us to move some stuff out of the way so we can receive our good, like an old car or a married guy. The moment you decide to create the space for your good is when you'll know it's on the way. The 12 Conditions of a Miracle book by Todd Michael has a chapter on receiving. Let me share this with you. He says, "So often we ask spirit to provide, but fail to prepare ourselves to collect the abundance that will appear. As soon as you prepare an empty container to receive, the universe will automatically begin mobilizing to fill it. It's automatic. And what's amazing is this applies to anything and everything in our lives. Any good thing we can possibly want, whether it's money, income, opportunity, love, a relationship, material objects, and even good health. The best demonstration story that I know about getting ready to receive good health is my own mother's story. Now, I asked her permission to share this with you, and it's a very personal story, but she said, sure. So just for a reference, I will share a cute little photo because she's so adorable. This is my mom. Let's see. That's me and my mom. She is 79. She'll be 80 in a couple months. She lives in Oregon with my sister. And for the past 5 years or so, her health has declined a bit. And one specific thing that happened is she started bleeding internally. They didn't know where, and they didn't know why. But here's how this would go. Is she would get sick and weak at home, and she would go into the hospital, and they would run tests. They would find nothing other than you're bleeding somewhere internally, and they would give her a blood transfusion, and she would get better, and they would send her home from the hospital. And a few weeks or a few months later, it would happen all over again. She'd be back in the hospital, more tests, more transfusions. She'd get better, she'd go back home. This went on and on, no kidding, for about 5 years. And they could never figure it out. And so finally they just said, look, here's a blood doctor specialist. Go see him every 2 weeks. Get your levels checked. We would call it getting tanked up. Mom, do you need to go get tanked up? And they would go and give her blood if she needed it. And it got to the point where she needed blood almost every time she went. So meanwhile, completely unrelated to this bleeding problem, in May of this year, my mom lost her balance and she fell and she broke her leg, her bottom part, the shin bone. And she had a couple surgeries to fix it. And after a few months over the summer, the surgery wound got very infected. And in September, they decided that they had to amputate her leg above the knee. Yeah, stick with me. I promise it's a good story. So my mom lives far away. She doesn't really do computers and watch my talks. And we don't really talk about, you know, this stuff, what I teach in science of mind, you know? And I didn't know if she knew about these spiritual principles of the giving and the releasing, the emptying and the receiving. And I knew I had to talk to her before she had this surgery. This was a very big deal. It was too important. So we talked and I said, you know, Mom, this leg of yours has served you well your entire life. You have been very active. It gave you mobility. There is so much to be thankful for, but it's no longer serving you anymore. And she completely agreed that leg had to go. And I said, well, what if you really went to a place of gratitude? You know, tell it, thank you. Thank you for serving me. I release you. I let you go. And then you can be ready to heal and receive good health. And we had this conversation. It was very emotional. We got a little weepy, as you can imagine. But she said, yeah. She was really open to this concept. It made sense to her. She was ready after all she had been through to give thanks, let go, release, and receive. And she was kind of happy about it. I mean, cheerful is not a word I would ever use to describe my mother after surgery. But she was cheerful. So she not only survives this leg amputation, she is thriving. She is healthier than I've seen her for years. She's supposed to have a new fake leg put on by the end of the year. She's thrilled. She has believed she is going to walk again, and so she will. But here's the kicker. She has been back to that blood doctor 5 times since she had that amputation, and she has never once needed a blood transfusion from it. She literally gave thanks, got rid of what no longer served her, and cheerfully received good health. Now, from a medical perspective, I'm no doctor, but I would say these things aren't really related. What do I know, though? I do know that everything is connected in spirit. Everything is connected. Everything has energy, and everything is part of the law of circulation. I find this stuff so exciting. I could just talk about it for a day, I swear, but I will wrap this up. So personally, I love thinking about what I can give thanks for, what I can release, what I can let go of to get ready to receive. If you think about it, I could empty out a closet somewhere in my house and drop a bunch of stuff off at Goodwill. And who knows, maybe the following week I could end up with some unexpected income or meet the person that wants to give me my dream job. We don't always know what good we will receive when we get ready. But we know it's coming because that's the law. It's not called the possibility of circulation. It's called the law of circulation. The law does not expect you to give without receiving in return somewhere, somehow. So my call to action for you this week is to be in the flow and have fun with this. I really believe part of the cheerful aspect of this is our willingness to have fun and play with these spiritual principles. Because God is so good, and so am I, and so are you, and so it is. And now we have a song by a gentleman whose name I do not know how to pronounce, and I'm going to just do my best. His name is Richard McDeasy, and he has a song called Give It Away.
If it's love you're after, give it away. Good news or laughter, give it away. Don't keep your blessings in that bottle on the shelf. A gift will grow when it is shared with someone else. Now that astounded, give it away. The sun shines from above for everyone to share. When something comes your way, show the world you funny, give it away.
something missing in your life. Open your heart and give this Groovy Laura a try. Give it away.
All right, so now I'm going to put my Board of Trustees hat on and just remind you guys of some things that are going on around here. First of all, we just heard all about the wonderful law of circulation. And if you are looking for a place to give of your time, your talents, your financial offerings, this is a great place. There are several ways that you can donate and give for us. There, I got that in the chat for you there. You can, of course, go to our website and there's an automatic link there to donate. You can mail us a check if you'd like. The address is in the chat screen. So you should know that we believe in your abundance and prosperity. We are so grateful for your contributions, your donations, and your support. So let's affirm this and speak our word together by saying our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So we have some announcements. All right. So, oh my gosh, it's December on Tuesday. We're winding down 2020, guys. Get ready. So next month's theme coming up is Celebrating Divine Truth. Dr. Bob will be back next Sunday, and his talk title is Welcoming the Shadow, which I think sounds really interesting and fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Next Sunday is our first Sunday of the month. We always stay a little extra late on the Zoom, and so we can chat and interact with each other. So plan for that if you can be here. Let's see. And so we have our spiritual empowerment sessions on Tuesdays at noon. Boy, if you have not checked this out, you are missing out. You got to pop on there. It's the same Zoom link that you use for Sunday mornings. It's just a little small group. I'm there almost every week. Dr. Bob's there. We pop on and Dr. Bob leads us in affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment. We check in with each other and see how we're all doing to support each other. And it's a wonderful time. You walk away feeling like a million bucks, I promise. We're on Facebook. We share a lot about upcoming events on Facebook, things that are going on. If you are on there and you see something from us, comment, like it, share it, get our message out. That's how we are reaching people a lot these days, since we are sort of in internet land, right? on Sunday mornings before our service, we meet at 10 a.m. and we have the discussion group for those of us who are reading The Science of Mind. It's, again, the same Zoom link that we use for the service, and you can pop that. I believe Maya leads that, so thank you for that, Maya. We have prayer practitioners, as I mentioned earlier. They are the healing arm of this center, and they are here for you. If you would like a one-on-one session with a practitioner, you can reach out. They usually put their information, a couple of them, is in the chat session there. And you can also, if maybe you're not wanting to do an one-on-one session, you can go to our website and there is a link for a prayer request, and you can just submit what's going on, what you'd like prayer for. And those prayer practitioners meet once a month and they get together and they pray over these prayer requests that come in. So do consider that as well. I think I tackled everything, right? Okay. Let's close out with our affirmation of life. Oh, say it loud and proud. We're all at home. You can be loud. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you, everyone.